Exodus chapter 17 this morning. Exodus 17, we're going to read, start reading in verse 8 through 15. We read in Proverbs 18:24 on Wednesday night about how important it is to have friends in our life.
Amen.
And we said that if you have, I ain't talking about acquaintances, but true friends that you can count on when you go through hell on earth. That's when you'll find out who your true friends really are, whenever you're going through adversity, pain. You need somebody to lean on. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, he that is friendly has friends. So to have a friend, you got to first be a friend. Amen? Then it says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That friend that sticks closer than a brother in our life is Jesus.
Amen.
But we also do have friends that are closer to us and we can depend on even more than our own kinfolk. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You may have a brother, but does he help you? I know some people don't help one another. We definitely should help each other.
Amen.
I mean, my brother's been going through a lot. Brother Skidmore's brother been going through a lot. And my brother was about to lose his whole place due to adversity in his life. Both hands operated on, crippling arthritis in both hands from working these joysticks about 27 years on a log skidder, jumping up and down like this all day long. Mm-hmm. And after he had both hands operated on, he finds out he's got a pain shooting down his neck and sciatic nerve and so forth, and he had to have neck surgery. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said it's so bad, he said, I've operated on a lot of people. He said, your neck is about as bad as I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
30 years of being in a skidder. And when he got, when he out of work for months because of couldn't work, both hands operate on, what you going to do? I don't think he's ever going to be able to go back to work. He's never going to be able to be what he used to be. And they were about to take his place. And by the grace of God, I said, I can't let that happen. If I can do anything about it, I got to do something.
That's right.
What were the brothers supposed to do? Just act like, don't turn your head, don't get involved. But I couldn't do it. I said, he's worked too hard to pay for this place. Got it halfway paid for. Now when he's down and out, you know, the bank don't care.
No.
If you can't make the payment, they come get it. So, by the grace of God, I was able to help my brother. But they are sometimes in your own family, when you're going through tough times, your family, they won't even help you. They able to help you, but they don't help you. So there are friends that will come and help you sometimes, even when your own family don't help you. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
And this morning we're going to talk about the quality of friends and people we need to surround ourselves with.
Amen.
You need to surround yourself with people that are sharp. The Bible says iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
You need to surround yourself. You need to start doing an inventory on who you are surrounded by.
Come on.
And they may be some people that need to be pruned.
Amen.
Y'all know what the pruning process is, right? You need to cut some people out of your life.
That's right.
I said on Wednesday night, there's some people that instead of adding to your life, they always taking from it.
That's right.
I understand we need to give, we need to give, we need to give, but we also need to have folks that will help themselves. Amen?
That's right.
In Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says, forgot my glasses somewhere here. Exodus 17, starting in verse 8. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Verse 11. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, which is Jehovah Nissi. And he said, behold, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and alive. Lord, I pray that your people receive your word today and be built up and be strengthened today. And I pray, Lord God, for myself, that you would help me declare and decree the word of God. Let it be none of me, but all of you and all for your glory. Let me have revelation of your word, Lord, and give it to your people. Help me feed the sheep today, Lord. These are your people. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise, Holy Spirit, for your help. I need it. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this particular scripture, we find that Moses and the children of Israel are in a battle. And God gave Moses instruction, and Moses gave Joshua instruction, and Moses went down into the valley and began to fight with the Amalekites. And Moses went up on top of the hill to oversee the battle. Moses was the man that was up on top of the hill. I would call him an intercessor. He's one standing in the gap.
Yes.
He's standing there on top of that mountain, and as they are fighting one another, Moses has his hands up, and he's believing God, and he's praying for God's people to have a victory that day, and he's holding his hands up, and every time Moses held his hands up so long, they begin to get heavy.
Yes.
And when anybody ever praised God long enough, hallelujah, that your hands get heavy.
Yes.
If you ain't, you need to try it out. It works, hallelujah. They'll get heavy enough after a while because all the blood will drain down from them. They'll have to come back down, get a little bit more, and go back up with it again.
That's right.
But Moses' hands got heavy. He got weary up on top of that mountain, and every time his hands would come down, Amalek would begin to win. When his hands stayed up, the Israelites would win. They would prevail in the battle. And Aaron and Hur seen what was going on. They would win, then they would lose. Moses' hands up, they would win. He come down, they would begin to lose. Aaron and Hur went up on top of that mountain with Moses. And they were his friends. They were the ones, hallelujah, that recognized, somebody needs to help Moses out.
Yeah.
You know, they sometimes in these battles that we fight down here on this earth, these spiritual battles, that we can't win them by ourselves. After you've been in a war, a spiritual war, for a long time, sooner or later you'll get weary. You'll get tired of fighting. And when you get tired of fighting, sometimes you get ready to give up. Because you feel like, I just can't do it no more. I just can't fight this no more. I done prayed all I know to pray. I done fasted all I know to fast. I done done everything I know to do. But yet, hallelujah, I keep losing. I don't know what to do. Thank God for good friends. Aaron and Hur recognized that Moses needed a little help. And they come up beside him. They set him on a stone. And one got on one side. One got on the other. And they held his hands up. And when they held his hands up and they didn't come back down, praise God, Israel defeated the Amalekites that day. But Aaron and Hur recognized, I need to come alongside of this mighty man of God, and I need to hold his hands up. He can't win it all for us all the time, all by himself. I need some brothers, and I need some sisters. I need some church folk, hallelujah, sometime to come along and hold my hands up, praise God. Hallelujah. We ain't money, hallelujah, but the devil knows we exist.
That's right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now here's the kind of friends you need to surround yourself with. Aaron, his name means a mountain of strength.
Yes.
It means to be enlightened. It means to have revelation. Hallelujah. So when you surround yourself with friends that have revelation, that have light inside them, that are a mountain of strength, praise God, that's the kind that you need. Whenever you get weary, you need somebody else that can come by you and say, hey, I got some strength here to give you.
Yeah.
I can hold on. I can help you pray. I can help you fast. I can help you get to church when you can't get to church. I can help you. Amen?
Amen.
And Hur, the other one that came along beside Moses, his name means to be noble. It means splendor. It means he was a man of character, a man of integrity, a man of truth that's got good morals.
Yes.
That's the kind of men you need to be hanging around. That's the kind of friends you want to be holding your hands up in the day of battle. You want somebody that knows something about the Word of God.
Yeah.
You want somebody that's strong in the Lord. You want somebody that's full of God and full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. That's the kind of people you want.
Yeah.
You want somebody that's got character, that walks in truth, that don't lie out of both sides of their mouth, that when they tell you something, their yes is yes and their no is no. That's the kind of people you want to hang around.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because when you get in a battle, hallelujah, and you get weary, you need somebody to come by you that can hold you up, hallelujah, that's going to stand for truth.
Yes. Amen.
That's going to stand for righteousness. Amen. That's going to stand for the light of the world, Jesus Christ.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank God for intercessors. We need people to stand in the gap for us.
Amen.
Moses was standing in the gap for while they were fighting. And this battle drew long. It wasn't one of those that you get, it ain't one of those one licks, knock them out, and you get the belt and go home. It's one of those. It's going the whole 5 rounds.
Yes.
It's going all 12 rounds. They're going to have to fight, and it's going to be long. Hallelujah. Anybody done any fighting lately? It seems like I've been fighting, and I'm going into the 15th round right now.
Come on.
Hallelujah. 15th round. Hallelujah. I've been in some of those battles before in the spirit.
Yes.
To where you've been fighting, and you're getting worn down. And it feels like, you're about to, it looks like we're going to lose this one. Hallelujah. There's been many times in my ministry that, hey, tell you the truth, I felt like folding. I felt like leaving. I felt like closing the doors. I'm like, I'm done. Study, pray, fast. Two people show up on Wednesday night.
Come on.
I'm like, I'm about done with this. Go to the jail. Leave your children ball games. Go down there to minister. And two people show up.
Come on.
I'm like, you know what? I can go back and be a USDA inspector and forget all this. But about that time, one of my friends, an Aaron or her, would come along my side. People that God had connected me with through the years, my phone would ring. God would let somebody know, you need to hold Stacy's hands up right now. He's going through a battle. And my phone would ring, and one of my brothers from another mother, anointed by God, would call me and say, Stacy, it ain't time to give up, cave in, or quit.
Come on.
It's time, yes. Hallelujah, to grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Hallelujah. It's time to praise God. It's time to worship. It don't matter if 2 shows up or 2,000. Just be faithful to what God has called you to do.
Amen.
If it hadn't been for those few phone calls,
come on.
I didn't get them from everybody in the congregation. Mm-hmm. But one or two friends. If you got one or two friends on your hand, hallelujah, in the day of adversity, you are blessed if you got that many good friends.
That's right.
But they would call me, and when they would get done, I'd say, you know what? I ain't go another week. I ain't go another day. I ain't go another month. I ain't go another year. And every time I started to hang it up again, Ruth, my phone would ring. And thank God for those Aaron and her that came along through the years to hold up my hands. Thank God for Aaron and her, because if he hadn't have been holding Moses' hands up, Israel would have lost that battle that day. Because you can only hold your hands up for so long. You got to watch out for those people that have come into your life. I call them false friends.
Yes.
They don't come to give. They come to take.
That's right.
You got to recognize them. If you don't, they'll drain you dry.
Amen.
Come on.
Leave you high and dry, empty, and add nothing to you. And never, after all you've done, won't even turn around and say thank you.
Come on.
That's right.
All the trouble that you went through to help them in a time of adversity. I remember standing in the gap for, I try to recognize, and as a good friend, Aaron means enlightened one. That means you see things.
Right.
A good friend will look at another friend and they'll be able to detect things. They'll be able to say, something just ain't right with them today.
Yes.
They quiet, and they ain't usually quiet. Their head's down today when their head is usually up.
Come on.
They've missed a couple of services lately, and they don't ever miss church. Something's going on. A good friend like Aaron, the enlightened one, that has revelation, able to see things, friends will be able to see when you're going through something. You don't have to tell them. They just know you.
That's right.
Right? Friend like that is what we need.
Amen.
I remember being in Uganda one time, and I had a Kenyan with me. Me and Apostle Kenny had a brother by the name of Onesimus with us. And Onesimus was always the one that, he would put everything, all of our meetings together. And when we'd go down the road, and every now and then he'd get a phone call, and Brother Kenny say, how's things going on the other end? Or the next town where we're going to? And we could tell things were, we was hitting some bumps in the road. Y'all know what I mean? We were catching some adversity. Things don't always go just like you wanted to go. One time we was on the road to Fort Portal, Uganda, and we got into a car, and we broke 2 timing belts in 2 different cars on the way to Fort Portal. 2 timing belts. That ain't easy to do. That usually don't even happen. Breaking one, much less. We broke one, got into another car, went on down the road a couple of hours, and that one broke. The devil was trying to keep us out of Fort Portal.
That's right.
Adversity. And every time something would happen, I'd look at Onesimus sitting right next to me in that little car, and I'd say, Onesimus, what we going to do? And Onesimus would look at me, that Kenyan, and he'd say, we shall trust the Lord, brother. I loved it so much, I'd say, what you say? He said, we shall trust the Lord, brother. I said, well, praise God. We'll trust the Lord on this one. All right, praise God. And I began to just love Onesimus. Love him, and he became a friend of mine. Then when we got over and we crossed out of Kenya, went into Uganda, we had checked into this hotel. And the next morning, we came down for breakfast before we got into the car to go on down the road. We were eating breakfast, and me and Brother Kenny had a table there. And we were eating, and Onesimus and our driver came up late. And they went to the table, and they got their plate fixed. And they said, a few feet away from us, if I hear to Miss Louise, I'll wait in another table. Our driver and Onesimus sat down. They were eating. Boy, them boys can eat now. They had them a plate, man. And the manager of the hotel, he come by, he recognized that they're not residents of the hotel. They're not staying there. They with us. Mm-hmm. And they getting to eat because they with us. We paying for their meal. But the manager came by and he seen Onesimus and our driver. And he looked down on them. And he came over and he was kind of like rebuking them for eating so much. Getting on to him. And I don't know what all he was saying to him, but I could tell he wasn't being kind to him. And I'm sitting over there, and I see what's going on. This is what a friend does. He said, he's rebuking my partner. He's rebuking my driver that's carrying me. I said to the manager, I said, come here, sir. And I'm a Mzungu. An American of Mzungu. Anyhow, he comes to me with respect. And he said, yes, sir, what can I do to help you? I said, well, let me tell you something. That man over there that you over there giving a hard time to, he's with me. He goes, ooh. I said, and let me tell you something else. He is an ambassador in the kingdom of God. And I said, he's an ambassador to Kenya, and he's an ambassador to Uganda. I said, when you see him, treat him with great respect, sir. He said, yes, sir. And from that day forward, the next day, guess what he got? Ambassador, respect, and treatment. But I couldn't stand him sitting there putting my brother down.
That's right.
And I stood up for him. And that's what we're supposed to do in this world, is take up for one another, stand up for one another.
That's right.
Fight for one another.
Amen.
Not in the natural, but in the spiritual realm. When we see somebody down, we see them fighting for their marriage is about to be fold up, we got to come alongside their side. That woman or that man, hallelujah, that still believe in God to restore their marriage, we got to be enough, have enough Jesus to come in and say, hey, let's lift you up right now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You don't never know what the devil's hitting them with. They about to lose their family. They about to lose their business. They about to lose everything that they got. And the devil said, why don't you just go ahead and take your life? People go through suicidal thoughts.
That's right.
When they get deserted, they get lonely. That's when we, the body of Christ, we got to recognize. We got to have revelation. We got to be able to say, hey, my friend, damn, something going on. I got to look across this side of the church. You got this side, got to look across that side. We got to know one another, and we got to pray for one another.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, pray for one another.
That's right.
Pray for one another. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear with one another's burdens.
That's right.
When you see somebody burdened down, you got to go and you got to pick up some of that weight because they can't tote that weight forever.
Amen.
That's right.
But most people today, they don't want to get involved. We got to be that good Samaritan. We got to be that Aaron, that her,
yes,
to stand up on each side and hold them hands up. We are in the day of battle, y'all.
Amen.
The Bible says, and we see that the end drawing near, we need to pray for one another. We need to stand with one another, and we need to encourage one another, even the more so as the time gets close to the end.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all, we living in a time when we need to start caving in and quitting.
That's right.
We got to encourage one another.
Amen.
There's an old song. And that's the title of this sermon, is Lean On Me.
Yes.
Lean on me. Lean on me. Lean on me. When you're not strong,
yes,
I'll be your friend. Help you carry on. Come on, Joshua, pick me up.
Till I'm gone.
Find that for me, Joey.
I'm ready to sing.
But that's what we need. We need folks we can lean on. You know, Moses didn't take the whole congregation up on the top of the hill with him. He took two people, Aaron and Hur. He knew, hey, you know what? I can't do this by myself. A lot of people are giving up, caving, and quitting because they believe that they're in this by themselves. You know, the same battle that you're fighting, somebody else across the pew is fighting the same battle.
Amen.
Bible says, they ain't nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
That's right.
We just sometimes think we isolate ourselves and think we're the only one going through something. I love what my little lady did back here one Sunday morning. I'll never forget it, darling, when Miss Mabel Campbell came. And she was up here, maybe about that third row there. And she was weeping and crying, Miss Mabel. She'd lost her house right here. That used to be her house. Her husband's dead. They put her in a assistant living place. And she just always hated leaving her home. But she cried up here. This little lady didn't even know Miss Mabel. But she saying she was hurting. And came up here and put her arms around her.
Yes.
And talked with her. And comforted her. That went a long way that day, darling. Thank you for doing that for Miss Mabel. Y'all, this morning I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray for one another. One thing that will happen when we pray for one another, we get united and we get stronger. If you're watching by media, I want you to know Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you are isolated, you're going through a battle, it's been raging and it's long, and you are weary. You don't know what else to do. I pray that God will surround you with some people that know how to pray, that know how to lift your hands up, and to help you get through this battle that you're in. Jesus is near. Call on him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Call upon him. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, ask him to save you. Recognize you're a sinner. Call upon the Savior. He'll wash your sins away. And he'll be that brother that sticks close to you forever. And he's faithful. We love you. God bless you. And thank you for tuning in.